Thank you for listening to the Policies and Procedures training for Kids Ministry at Reality Ventura. Connected to this training, right below the audio, you will find a link to the actual handout that we will be tracking with as I am giving this training. So if you have not done so already, please open that up and we will begin. So our policies and procedures in kids ministry. We do have policies and procedures so that we are able to maintain a safe and orderly, appropriate atmosphere for kids, to set both kids at ease, parents at ease, and also to set you guys at ease. And the first one that we're going to go over is our two-person policy. So there are always two people or two volunteers in any space where children are present. No volunteer should ever be alone with a child or group of children. The two volunteers must always have the other in a direct line of sight. If a volunteer needs to step out, they need to make sure they're not leaving another volunteer alone with the kids. So if you guys do need to leave the volunteer alone, like say that you had to go to the bathroom, and the other volunteer was left with the kids, call the coordinator over, and then they can cover your spot and be with the kids with the other volunteer as you're going to the restroom or whatnot. Or any other example like that if you ever needed to leave the kids alone. You will notice when you serve that there's always two people scheduled to a classroom. We do that to maintain this two-person policy. And sometimes we might have more than two people in the classroom because we might have special buddies in there, or we might have younger age groups, and so you need more people to children, like for ratio-wise, with younger kids. So some classes will have more than two people, but we will always have at least two people. So say, for instance, that you're serving in the nursery and you have only one baby dropped off. You still need two people to be with that one baby in order to maintain this two-person policy. So moving on, the next policy is our bathroom and diaper policy. Only women are allowed to assist children in the bathroom and when changing diapers. If physical help is needed, try to verbally coach the child if he or she needs help. If they need help pulling up their underwear or pants, quickly help and then step back. Never help a potty trained child wipe. And then if a child needs excessive help in the bathroom, have the coordinator page the parent or guardian. So as a general rule here, if a three-year-old or older has a diaper still, we do not change those diapers. So only kids two and younger do we change diapers. If there's a three-year-old who's not yet potty trained, then we will call the parent. And then again, if a child needs excessive help in the bathroom with like wiping or something, we will call the parent and the kid will have to wait on the toilet until their parents come. And then just a reminder that only females help children with the bathroom or with diaper. If you are serving with, if you're in a class with a diaper, with kids who have diapers, there is a separate training for changing diapers. We do have a protocol for that. And if you are in a class of like five-year-olds or older, you do not need to physically take the kids to the bathroom. You can stand at your door, watch them go to the bathroom, and watch them come back, because by that age, they should be able to go to the bathroom on their own with no assistance. And again, if they ask for assistance or they need excessive help, that's when you call the parent over. So moving on, social media policy. All kids ministry volunteers are not allowed to take photos of kids or post them onto their personal social media account unless an exception is given by me, the kids ministry director. Sometimes when you're serving, the kids are super cute and they're so fun. And well, they're always that way. Not sometimes. All the time when you're serving, you're going to find the kids to be super fun and super cute. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I have to take a picture of this. We ask that you please do not do that unless we ask you to do it. And we ask that you don't take pictures and share them with your community group or with your family and friends, or post them on, of course, on your social media page, because those are we don't have permission from their parents. Also, some of those children may be foster, and it is actually not legal to post on social media a foster child. for the safety of the kids. So we ask that you please just refrain unless I ask you otherwise. So thank you for maintaining that one. We really appreciate it. The next policy is the cell phone policy. When working with kids, volunteers must put away their cell phones while serving unless using their phone for volunteer purposes, such as contacting the coordinator, setting a timer, playing music for an activity, or etc. So a lot of times we will say, hey, use the timer on your phone or whatever for a lesson. But ultimately, we'd rather you have your phones put away because we want to make sure that you guys are not scrolling and just through like social media, or you're not texting friends. Because when you're with kids, it really is important that you're present with kids. If you find that really hard to do, you're more than welcome to come and talk to me. But ultimately, we want to make sure that we're connecting with kids. And if we are on our phone, we're not connecting. So that. The next one is the check-ins and check-out procedure. So for the check-in portion, when your kid arrives to class, make sure that the kid has a name tag and their parents have a matching security label. You'll notice a 4-digit alphanumeric number that'll be both on the kid's name tag and on the parent's name tag or their security label. In your classroom, there is a clipboard that has a sign-in sheet. So have their parents sign in their child in on that classroom clipboard and remind the parents to have their phone out during the service in case we need to text them, and to bring their security label back for checkout. So it doesn't matter which age the kids are, whether they're fifth grade or they're three-year-olds, please, please, please tell the parents that we're going to text them if we need them. Sometimes injuries happen. Sometimes a kid gets sick. Sometimes we need help with discipline stuff. We need to have access to the parents, and the way we access them is through their cell phone. So please just remind them to have their cell phones out nearby in case we do text them. And remind them to have their security label for pickup, which leads us to the second part of this procedure, which is the checkout procedure. When a parent or guardian arrives to pick up a child, verify the matching security codes every time. And if a guardian does not have their security label, find the coordinator to verify if they are authorized to check out the child or not. So sometimes a parent will lose or forget their guardian label or the security label, whatever you want to call it. And so if that is the case, and like, you know that they might go together, just we say the best process is to be overly nice but insistent. So say would be something like, oh my gosh, this happens a lot. We're so sorry. What we have to do is we still need to check, verify that you're the parent. Like, I know this is a hassle. I know it's such a bummer, but we have to do it. I'm so sorry. It's for like, I have to do it to cover myself. And you know, we just want to make sure we're sending the right kid home with the right parent. So thank you so much for your patience. You know, just all of that. Just lay it on thick. It is okay. You can even blame me and I will deal with the parent if they get upset. Normally the parents do not get upset. They're usually very, very appreciative. But every once in a while there's a parent that's like irritated by it. And so that's when we just slather on the niceties really, really thick. And I will deal with the upset parent afterwards. You do not have to do that. So that is how you check in and check out children into your class during the day. Again, these are policies and procedures that we maintain all the time in kids ministry. The next one is the emergency procedure. It is not fully set, like we don't have a full emergency procedure yet. We are working on it. But what we do have is the basics of, and this is what you need to know. So in case of a fire, earthquake, or other emergency, if you are in a downstairs class, you're going to take your kids and your clipboard and leave out the nearest exit and go to the parking lot in front of the gymnastics studio along Goodyear. So if you are walking outside of the church building, you are facing Goodyear. To the left is the gymnastics studio. To help you visualize that, if you still aren't sure where that's at, you know where the brewery is across the breezeway from our doors. It's the building on the opposite side of our church building. That is the gymnastics studio. So you would take your kids to that parking lot in front along Goodyear Avenue. But if you are in an upstairs classroom, you're going to take your clipboard and your kids So the emergency exit, heading out of the 3 and 4 year old classroom. And again, you're going to go to the parking lot in front of the gymnastics studio along Goodyear Avenue. There are actually three stairways to get downstairs from upstairs. One, of course, is the main way that everybody uses on a Sunday, the very narrow one that hopefully will not always be there. Maybe one day it'll be widened. I don't know. It's narrow. The other one is the 3 and 4 year old exit. And out of the 3 and 4 year old classroom, there is a stairway that's facing Goodyear. You've probably seen it a million times. And then the other one is if you go, we call it the catwalk, but it's that long walkway from the kids ministry section into the sanctuary. If you're in the sanctuary upstairs, at the very end, there is another emergency exit that exits to the stairs on the side of the building next to the youth room. So those are the three ways to get from upstairs to downstairs. And again, the meeting location, in case of an emergency, is in front of the gymnastics studio along Goodyear Avenue. And this is just really important to remember, to please keep your class together until their parents come to retrieve their child. There might be siblings in different classes, but we ask, please keep your kids together. Don't let the siblings combine, because then things get a little messy. And we want to make sure that in case of an emergency, that we don't lose any kids and we don't have parents freaking out or stressing out more than is necessary. So it's really important that you keep the kids with you, your kids with you, until their parents come to pick them up. And then finally, our very last policy and procedure, and this is our behavior issue policy and procedure. In other words, this is like what some people would call maybe a discipline policy, but we call it our behavior issue policy. So in order to have consistency in our discipline policy, we have a defined pathway to help RVTA kids volunteers know what to do with the misbehaving kid. Our hope is that the way we discipline kids would always reflect the gospel. We've said it before, and I'm going to say it again right now. We want everything to be Christ-centered, to be gospel-centered, not just in kids' ministry, but at Reality Ventura. And so we also want that to be reflected in the way that we discipline or handle behavior issues in our classrooms. So this is how we do that. Number one, often misbehavior is due to a lack of attention, boredom, and confusion. In other words, like, kids might be distracted because what is happening in the classroom is not engaging. The best way to avoid this on the front end is prepare mentally and spiritually before you arrive. Lesson plans and leader study guides can be found at rvtakids.com. So you need to come prepared. If you don't come prepared and you're like actually in charge of a class, but you don't actually know what's supposed to be happening that day, then you're going to be so focused on the printed out lesson plan that you're not going to be making eye contact with the kids. You're going to be making eye contact with a piece of paper, which means you're losing the kids. And so you need to come prepared. You need to know what you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're doing it on the front end. And we have created a lesson that will hopefully keep the kids' attention and not be boring and to not cause confusion. All you would need to do, since all of that legwork is already done, is to study that lesson plan ahead of time. Again, the lesson plans can be found at rvtakids.com. So again, we're talking about misbehavior. So first is to minimize distractions, boredom, or confusion. Number two, if a child is misbehaving, prayerfully discern the cause of misbehavior, paying attention to the child's unspoken needs. Sometimes a child might seem like they're misbehaving, but really they might have some sensory needs that they're trying to have met. Like, they need help self-regulating, or they might need extra positive attention, or they might need a break. From my own personal experience, I once had a 5-year-old who, he would come and he was always really, really challenging. But then one day it just kind of clicked. Hey, this kid has a lot of siblings. And when he comes, there's a lot of kids in this class. This kid probably just needs attention. And so I started, I sat down next to him and I like made eye contact with him and I played with just him for like, just like a few minutes. But like, I gave him my sole attention. And his behavior completely turned around. All he needed was attention and love. And so once he had that need met, then the misbehavior stopped. And actually our relationship grew. So first, after you have prepared, make sure that it's not actually a heart issue. See if there's an unmet spoken need that needs to, an unspoken need, I'm sorry, that needs to be met first. Okay, but the misbehavior is still happening. So if a child is misbehaving, say that they're talking to their neighbor, rather than singling that child out right away, address the group as a whole, the class as a whole. So for instance, I might be like, oh, I hear some voices over there. Remember, it's my turn to talk and your turn to listen. So you know it's the one kid, but you're going to like address the whole group. Usually that's where it stops. That's enough correction to know, oh, he's talking about me. Okay. So then they stop. That's normally where it stops. But say that it keeps happening. So lovingly, if the misbehavior continues, the kid is still talking, rather than singling that child. Oh, I'm sorry. Where did that one? Number four, if misbehavior persists, lovingly speak one-on-one with the child. So you say to the kid, hypothetically, Sarah, remember, it's my turn to talk and your turn to listen. And so she knows, oh, okay, like, she's calling me out. Now say that Sarah still keeps on talking. Number five, have the child regroup or reset by separating from the group and lovingly asking these questions. Now pause really quick. When I say regroup or reset, this does not mean a timeout. We do not do timeouts in kids' ministry. It doesn't matter which age you're working with, we do not do timeouts. But we do want to have them like take them aside, not, remember, we keep a two-person policy, so not out of the classroom, just pulling them aside and saying, okay, what's going on? And like have them take deep breaths, ask what's going on. They answer your question. So why do you keep doing that, Sarah? So why do you keep talking? And then allow her to answer that if she's able. Sometimes she might be like, I don't want to talk to you. I know I'm like, quote, in trouble. And then the third question you would ask her is, so how's this working for you? Like, you've been talking. How is this working for you? And the answer to that question is actually, she might try to answer that, but the answer is, instead of being able to be with your friends right now and to be doing what the rest of the class is doing, you're stuck here talking to me. So this clearly isn't working out really well for you. So number four, what do you think you could do differently so you're not stuck here talking to me about talking, like about how you've been talking? What could you do differently? And allow her to answer. She could say something like, maybe not talk to my friends, maybe listen to the teacher. And then how you respond is, great, that's such a good idea. Okay, let's do that. But Sarah, if you start talking again, then I'm gonna have to call over the coordinator. And so she knows that the next consequence will be they're going to have to call the coordinator, which is sort of the equivalent of like calling the principal. So they really don't want that to happen, nor have we ever had to get to this point. So just so you know, it might feel scary as we're talking about it now, but chances are you'll never have to get to this point. So number six, if the misbehavior persists, the next consequence is calling over the coordinator, who will then go through those questions above and do the same exact thing. And if the misbehavior still persists, then the next consequence would be to call the parents. So we've now reached a point in the misbehavior where it is no longer something that we can deal with, that we can't, we've lovingly tried to correct the child and they have chosen not to change their behavior. It's being disruptive to the rest of the class. They're not able to learn about Jesus because it's disrupting everybody. So now we need the parents' help. And so we'd call the parents and we'd ask, could you please talk with your child? Or is there something that you do at home that we could do to help partner with you in case this happens again? And the parent usually has a lot of clarity on the situation. So that's pretty cool. And that is it. That concludes our policies and procedures training. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach out to me, Anna, and I would be happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next training.